You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So today, the message that I feel God's placed on my heart to bring to us is called Disciples Know the Truth. Disciples Know the Truth. And we're going to delve into the scriptures to unpack and understand what it is to know the truth and also be skilled at living in the truth. Amen. In John 8, 31 and 32, it says this, that Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Jesus distinctly encourages us that if we truly are his, if we remain faithful to his teachings and his way, and I want to encourage you, one of his ways is truth. Truth. We're going to really delve into this. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, the truth that Jesus refers to in this passage of scripture is that you will know him. He is the truth. He is the truth. Amen. See, your truth should reflect the image of the Creator. Not the image of the age, the image of the Creator. Biblically, this is confirmed when Jesus speaks in the following scripture. We're going to delve to the scriptures today. This isn't my thoughts or my ideas. This is out of the Word of God today. John 14:6 says this, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the way to relationship with God. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way to restoration with God. He is the way to freedom from sin. Amen. See, only the one who is truth could guide us into all truth and freedom. It's only the one who is truth could do that. I want to encourage each of us today that when we become acquainted with Jesus, we become acquainted with truth. You see where this is heading a little bit later in the message. When we become acquainted with Jesus, we become acquainted with truth. Not just him that is the truth, but truth in every area of our lives. It's imperative today that we get this. When you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, when you come to this place of calling upon his name, it's because you heard the truth. And you responded to the truth, or you get to respond to the truth that we're set free from the grip of sin. For those of us who have experienced that, how exciting is that? See, the truth that God sent his son, that he loved the world so much, loved humanity so much that he sent Jesus to the world. He went to the cross, went to the grave, and he rose again on the third day. Why? Because he loved us so, so much. The truth is, it was for the forgiveness of our sin, for the restoration of humans back to God. The truth sets you free from the grip of sin, releases you back into the life that God has for you. So we're clear today. Let's be on the same page today that Jesus is the truth. And when you know the truth does what? We're on the same page. Jesus sets you free. But can the truth continue to set you free? Can truthfulness keep you free? I believe the answer to that is yes, and we're going to get into that. This is what it says in Titus 1, starting in verse 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of God, someone who's just sold out to loving Jesus, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. "I've been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives." The truth that shows them how to live godly lives. Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but he is the truth. He is the truth. You know your scriptures well. He is the truth. And he shows us how to live godly lives. How does he do that? Through the Bible, through his word. And it's my heart cry today that for each of us that we would know the truth. We would know Jesus. We would know him so well that we're in a place where we're open to be encouraged in how to live godly lives like Jesus. See, in Titus 1, the Apostle Paul speaks to us how he's been ordained to teach anyone who would listen the ways of Jesus, to teach them and to know the truth that shows us how to live that godly life that God's called us to. And I want to encourage you with this, that truth leads us to live godly lives. Truth leads us to live godly lives. The opposite of that is, if we don't live in the truth, if we don't follow the truth, it will lead us away from that as well. And I want to encourage you, come close to the truth, come close to Jesus. He will show you wrestles, challenges that you have within yourself. He'll show you how to live godly lives, Christ-like lives. See, when we live godly, it shows that we know the truth. Now, I'm not talking about putting on an act. Anyone can put on an act, but you can't sustain an act forever. When you know the truth, then we see godliness on a consistent, long-term plan. We're no longer bound by falsehoods. We're no longer bound to be comfortable with telling lies and half-truths. We're no longer at peace with living ungodly lives because we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Oh, come on. So issues with character, anger, sexual immorality, hate in our hearts, judgment in our hearts, anything that isn't Jesus, we're not comfortable with that anymore. See, he shows us instead how to live godly and Christ-like, to love everybody around us, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Amen. He refines us. You ready for this? Stick with this today. He refines us to be truth tellers. Refines us to be truth tellers. Jesus was a truth teller. How do I know that? 26 times in the book of Matthew alone, this is how he starts his statements. I tell you the truth. That's just in the book of Matthew alone. I tell you the truth. Why could he tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Because he is the truth. He can't tell anything different except the truth. He examples to us his ways by truth telling. And the encouragement for all of us is to follow his ways, his practices. Can truthfulness keep us free? I believe the answer is yes. John 8:32 again says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, if we echo the practices of Jesus, of being people who tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, it keeps our heart and our mind and our conscience set free. Amen. And likewise, if we don't practice the art of truth, if we tell lies, if we deliver half-truths, it undermines our heart, our mind, and our conscience. It has the potential to do the opposite of truth. It ties us up on the inside. It brings fallout between friends and family. It doesn't release us into the freedom that we've been set apart for. See, the truth shows us how to live in truth and outwork it with faith. Some of you may be familiar with this saying that's about to go on the screen, living my truth. For those of you who are aware of that, just there's a hard strike through on that one. Just in case you think I should write that down because it's important, please don't write it down. Please don't write down living my truth. You may have heard this phrase over the last 5 years or so, living my truth. I just want to put it out there really like passionately today. Biblically, folks, there is but one truth. Jesus is the truth according to John 14:6. And We're going to delve into this. Let's have a good, solid just chat about this morning. If I choose to live my truth, I'm quite literally saying to God, I know better. That I know a better way, and ultimately I'm saying not your will, God, but mine. So let's talk for a little bit. In reality, normally when I've heard individuals say that this is my truth, or I am living my truth, generally, not all, but generally, it seems that there are aspects of the individual's life that they are so truly and deeply unhappy with. It generally seems like I am in such a place of despair and desperation that I'm going to attach myself to this and hold on like nobody's business and attach this as my truth. I need hope, so I'm going to attach myself to this. This is my truth. Notice I'm speaking about other people today because none of us would ever have this problem, right? The concept of applying a new truth to our lives is often attached to the fact that we're potentially deeply unhappy with the parts of our life, or in some cases, every part of our lives. And applying a new truth makes us feel like we can perceive others differently without actually changing anything. That we can be perceived by others without actually changing anything, without challenging anything, without aligning ourselves with the truth. What could this look like? Well, as a Christian, we know we're saved. We know that God loves us. But we could still be plagued with thoughts that come and haunt us every day. Deceptive thoughts, sinful thoughts, self-deprecating thoughts. That's thoughts that where you treat yourself badly with self-talk. Perhaps thoughts of the past that hound us. Perhaps failures of past and present that won't leave us alone. Here are some other things that could make us want to change our truth or my truth or the perception of others towards us. Feeling like we're fake. Feeling like we're defective as a human being. This is a real talk moment today. I think it's really important that we put this stuff out there. Because you may be going through life thinking, I'm the only one that's got this going on. Come on, folks. Come on. Feeling like you want to act out on old or persistent temptations. Feeling consistently stupid. Feeling consistently embarrassed. Feeling like you don't measure up in comparison to others. Feeling like you're not good enough. Many of these things, let's be really clear. This is a potential reality for many of us in this place, that we come up against these things on a regular basis. Some of you maybe even on a daily basis. Some of you mainly on an hourly basis. Acknowledging reality doesn't undermine God's truth. It makes way for it. Don't dig a hole, try and put it in there and think that it's gone. No, we need to confront these things on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. We need to take these things to God, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Craig Groeschel says this, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. We speak a lie to ourselves often enough, eventually we believe it as it's true. Even though it's completely untrue, even though it's a complete falsehood. I want to encourage you today. Acknowledging the reality of things doesn't mean that you're undermining what God can do in your life. It means you're prepared to look it in the eye and say, not anymore. Not anymore. You may be in a place believing lies about yourself. You may be living those lies as your truth. But I speak this today with faith into all of our hearts. The truth is today that you, when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, your truth changes. The truth, Jesus, comes and resides in you. 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, there is a new outcome for you. And I can distinctly feel in the room right now that there's people, it's like, yeah, but every day, I get it. There's a reality. Look that reality in the eyes and say, in Jesus' name, my truth has been changed. See, disciples know the truth, and the truth sets them free. Disciples are truth tellers. Disciples reject lies and deception and step into the new life that they've been called to be set free in. Yes, you may have a certain reality happening right now. Yes, there are potentially things coming up and things coming at you. But could these things be undealt with things? Undealt with matters? See, your story, my story, it's not a new one. For those of you who know of Peter in the Bible, Peter was the rock that Jesus built his church on. But he also had wild impulse and potential anger issues. He was the guy that cut someone's ear off when they came to arrest Jesus. But he was also the guy that Jesus chose as the rock to build his church on. Just because we've got undealt with issues and undealt with matters doesn't mean that God still can't use us. Doesn't mean that Jesus, the truth, isn't our truth. It just means that we need to present ourselves into a place where we can work through the matters that come up and come at us. What could you deal with? What could you do to deal with those perceptions, those realities, those old realities that are coming to try and undermine the truth that's in you, that Jesus is in you? Well, here's some of the things that you could do. You could pray, tick. You could get prayer, tick. You could talk about the very real sources of pain, temptation, and challenge. It's not weakness to be open and accountable to good people in your life. It's a strength. We cannot do this work, this life on our own. See a specialist who's trained and versed in understanding the mind and emotions, but also understands your spirituality. Have a pastoral appointment. Don't coast in your relationship with God. Don't give up on the freedom that Jesus gave you. Just some of the things. That's not all the things. That's just some of the things that you could do. Yes, it is time to choose to align yourself with God's truth, but also be proactive in living out your freeness. In Romans 8:11, it says this, God raised Jesus from death, and if God's Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your bodies that die. Yes, God is the one who raised Christ from death, and he will raise you to life through the Spirit living in you. The same power that is in Jesus also dwells in you. You have power dwelling in you. You have power dwelling in you. So, but I feel so defeated. Yes, but you also have power dwelling in you. It's not a single-sided story. I'm going to say it again today. Disciples know the truth, and disciples live in the truth. Here's some more truth for us today. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7. But God is rich in mercy, and he loved us very much. We were spiritually dead because of all we'd done against him, but he gave us new life together with Christ. You've been saved by God's grace. Yes, it's because we are part of Christ Jesus that God raised us from death and seated us together with him in heavenly places. Did you hear that? When you follow Jesus, when you follow the truth, God raises you and seats you in heavenly places with him. God did this so that his kindness to us who belong to Christ Jesus would clearly show for all time to come the amazing richness of his grace. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. This is, if you want a truth today, let this be your truth. That upon the acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior, you accepted truth into your heart and life. Galatians 5, verse 1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it follows with this, stand firm. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. What is that referring to? The yoke of sin, the grip of sin. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Stand firm. Stand up on the inside. Hold your ground. Fight the good fight. Do away with my truth and align your heart to the truth. Lay down your will. Forsake your old desires. Take up the will of God. See, His will and truth lead you out of the grip of sin. His grace is enough for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His freedom is for you. You've been set free in it. See, Christ, the way, the truth, and life, it lives in me. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, when you accept Him, lives in you. My old self was crucified with Christ. I'm a new creation in Jesus. I say that, let it burn in your heart today. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Isn't that powerful? For those of you who are struggling with self-deprecation, getting down on yourself, talking badly over yourself, God who loved you sent Jesus, gave Himself for you. I don't know about you. That's probably a wrestle in your head right now. So why would He do that? Because God loved you. Because God loved you. Disciples know the truth and live in the truth. There's a proactivity. You know, if you don't know Jesus today, where does it all start? Well, it starts by acknowledging that we're in need of a Savior. That's where it starts. This is something that every single person on the face of the planet has in common. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. None of us can approach that standard in our own strength and ability. We can't approach it in our own strength. We can't approach it in our own truth. We could never be good enough to attain the necessary standard. But thank God that He sent Jesus. Again, John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not something that is held from you. It's not a mystery. It's not something that you have to work to attain. No, no. It's as simple as saying, I'm in need of a Savior. I call on the name of Jesus. It says in the Bible, in Romans 10 verse 9, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that simple. Yes. It doesn't mean that we enter an easy life. We still have to confront the challenges of everyday life, amen. But we don't do it on our own. We do it with the truth that resides within us. We do it with Jesus. And so in this moment, I just want to take a moment to give people in this space, people who are watching online, the opportunity to respond to that hope, to accept the truth that is Jesus. Can we bow our heads for a moment? If that's you today, this is your moment to come before God. It's got nothing to really do with me. It's got everything to do with you and your personal relationship with God. And again, this isn't something that you have to do. This isn't something you have to do under compulsion. This is something that you get to choose to do if you want to respond to the hope and love of God. The hope and love of Jesus. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if that's something you want to do, it's like, I want to be restored in relationship with God. I want to know Him. Not just know of him or hear of him. I want to know him personally. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Church, if you can join in praying this prayer after me as well. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, to the grave, and rose again for my forgiveness. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and you raised him. I surrender my life to you, and from this moment, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, amazing. If you prayed it again because you just knew that you needed to get yourself squared away, amazing. Don't leave church today without telling someone that you had the opportunity to pray this prayer. We need to be encouraged by people around us. It's really hard to do the walk of faith by ourselves, to do it on our own. So just as we come towards the end this morning, I distinctly felt that it would be really, really important to give each of us this opportunity today. Have you, this isn't to put your hands up, this is for internal dialogue with yourself. Have you been putting up with the truth in your life that is actually a lie? Perhaps the way you see yourself, the way that you think about yourself, the way you think about your self-worth, your value, your confidence, who you are as a human. Maybe someone said something to you once and you heard it and it's just ruminated in your head over and over and over, and now it's become that's how you actually think about yourself. But when we look at the Bible, it doesn't line up with who Jesus says you are. Have you been accepting a truth that doesn't line up with the truth? Are you putting up with reality when really what you need to do is take it to God, petition him in prayer, catch up with a pastor, see a specialist who's well-versed in helping you work through things and deal with things? Do you have a child or a family member who's away from God and you've quietly given up the fight for their eternity and their well-being? It's just too difficult to confront. Has the God of this age silenced your cries to God? Well, folks, it's time to get your roar back. It's time to get that fire back. It's time to get the truth front and center in your heart. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you that if you've been lulled into a sense of, I guess this is my reality, I guess this is my truth, it's time to fight the good fight. It's time to stand in the gap again, whether it's for you or family members. Just close our eyes for a moment. If you're in this place and you're like, something you says has resonated with me, or even just if you've been sitting there and God's begun to speak to you about your things, your matters, your challenges. Holy Spirit, just as we come before you, and we come boldly and confidently before you because we know that you love us. We don't approach with doubt. We're confident that you hear us and you love us. I pray for every single person who's coming before God in this place right now. And they're all of a sudden aware that there are some things that they have believed as truth that aren't their truth. It's a lie that has set in as truth, been lulled into a false sense of reality, a false sense of perspective, a false sense of clarity. Well, in Jesus' name, I pray for freedom in Jesus' name. That individuals, that you would be set free, that your mind would be set free from believing the lie, that your mind would be set free to believe the truth of Jesus. Holy Spirit, God, I pray that as disciples, we know the truth, but there's proactivity in our hearts and our actions to also live in the truth, Father God. I pray for each of us, as you've been speaking to us, that we would go away today and choose to action the very things that you're calling us, the matters that you're asking us to work through. And God, I pray that your grace is sufficient, your grace is enough for us to activate that on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.